This is KUT. People keep secrets for a lot of reasons. Imagine not feeling like you could share something fundamental, basic, about yourself with the people in your life. That's the situation for many people diagnosed with mental illness. They don't always believe sharing the details of their situation will be met with understanding or acceptance. Sometimes they fear misunderstanding, judgment, or rejection. Jesse McCrum is a member of the Austin Clubhouse. It describes itself as a psychosocial rehabilitation program for adults who have severe and persistent mental illness and focuses on quality of life issues. January is National Mental Wellness Month, and Jesse was really open about sharing his personal story with KUT's Jennifer Staten recently. He started with what he experienced shortly after he went back to college following some internships.
One day I was sitting in a classroom and suddenly I was in my 20s and suddenly started hearing voices. It wasn't something that was subtle. It was a very harsh break with reality. And I was very scared. Didn't want to admit that I had something that is stigmatizing, really, as stigmatizing as a mental health diagnosis can be. And so I ran away literally from everything, got in my car and just drove off as far away as I could.
Where did you go?
I went to Seattle. I went to Portland. I went
from
to Los
Austin.
Angeles. I did. I drove all that way. In the back of my head, knew that something had happened to me, but I had decided to move on with my life. And one of the things about having a serious mental health diagnosis is that you don't have insight into what's going on. You believe kind of your imagination. You can't tell the difference between your imagination and reality.
You headed to the West Coast then from Texas, but you didn't have treatment or diagnosis yet. So what did you do in that intervening time? What was your life like for you during that period?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time exploring the West Coast. Moved in with some roommates and started, you know, hanging out, basically. I didn't work. I didn't go to school. I didn't do the things that I normally did. I just kind of felt like I was still kind of post-break with reality and trying to come up with some kind of reason that I wasn't thinking straight anymore. Did some abnormal things as well. I mean, I would buy a potter's wheel and kind of spend a lot of time making pottery, which doesn't seem odd, but it wasn't the way I intended to spend the next year or two, but I did.
What prompted you to get some help or seek some treatment?
I came back to Austin and started getting into the VA program. They have a thing called the VASH program where they actually come out to visit you, see if you need help. I couldn't discuss my symptoms with anyone because I didn't want to be considered strange.
Can you talk a little bit more about what it was like to have to kind of keep that to yourself because of the stigma that we know persists?
Stigma is real. And I still believe that there are times when you can talk about your diagnosis, and definitely when you first come out of kind of the fog and you're on and you start your start medication and you start, reality starts breaking through. It's like the sunlight coming into your room and the fog kind of burning off. You want to tell people, oh my gosh, you can't believe what I was thinking and what happened to me. You start getting insights into your diagnosis. You really do.
So you get into the VA system and you get a diagnosis and start getting help. What happened for you after that then?
You know, I've been able to communicate with my family about things that I've been through and found a place to live, which I didn't really have for a while. And I started working, which is a big step for me because I hadn't worked for a number of years.
There's medication and there's kind of the medical side and then there's sort of the relationship side.
Finding someone that you can tell, look, I have schizophrenia. When people think schizophrenia, when I think schizophrenia, I used to think those poor people that are living in, you know, dirty clothes, living on Skid Row and talking to themselves. Then there's this other world where there's people who have this diagnosis that have, you can look them in the eye and say, I have this illness, and they don't look at you in horror. They say, yeah, me too. And, you know, we're going to get through this. You can just look at the person and tell that they are not what you would imagine someone to be, but more of a neighbor or a brother or a sister or a colleague.
for people who are not either in the medical system or in any other kind of system that assists people who have had a diagnosis of a mental illness, can you kind of talk to that group of people about what you would like them to know about people who do have a diagnosis of a mental illness?
The main thing is that if you have a loved one or a friend that you suspect has a mental health that needs to be diagnosed with a mental health illness, and they're not responding to you in a way that you feel like they should, it's not their fault. You know, one of the symptoms is that you're not able to communicate. You're not able to talk back to someone when they talk to you.
Jesse McCrum is a member of Austin Clubhouse. Jesse, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jennifer.